All right, welcome everybody. Today's graduate coaching call is going to be on the topic of web conversion 101. I'll be specifically teaching you 11 steps that you can implement with your business online to boost conversions and overall get more sales, more money in your pocket. So the very first thing that I'll start off with is the aspect of setting goals with your website. Got to have a clear focus, clear purpose of what the end in mind goal and purpose is of your site. Who do you want to help with it? What are you presenting on there? The products and services, the whole entire purpose. And so have a vision, okay, of what your entire website is all about. And a few weeks ago, we went over the topic of creating your value proposition and what that was all about. And so that's one of the topics we'll briefly mention here today. But for a more in-depth training on that, you can go to that recording on the topic of value propositions and how to create one, how to create an effective one, and the big difference that it'll make for you and your business and making more and more money and helping more and more people. But the very first thing is, in terms of website optimization, is having clear goals, okay, starting with not just any type of goal, but a goal that you can measure and track along the way. There are systems that you can use that will help you track your goals. So specific goals such as how many people are coming to your website and how long they stay there, what kind of information do they engage with or leave comments on, what kind of products do they buy, what kind of things do they really engage with is really what it comes down to, and the things that they're taking action on. So Google Analytics is one of the systems that's free to use. And you can go to google.com/analytics and simply sign up for that for free. There's a piece of code. It's a little bit techy, and you can get help from us to be able to help you implement that. But the main thing is that that should be on your website, all right? Very important to do that because that's going to allow you to track and measure what's going on so you're not left in the dark. So start with the right system to be able to track people come to your website and what's going on, and also yourself in terms of your own business, have clear, measurable goals. Okay. And the next element here, that I'll more of a side note, is when you start off with your business online, you want to differentiate between the two aspects of assumptions and facts. Okay, at this point, if you're just getting started with making money online or working towards it and reaching your income goals, you want to clearly understand the differences between an assumption and a fact. There's a lot of assumptions that you may have regarding making money online or helping your target audience. The sooner you can start to get feedback and specific ideas from your target audience on how to cater products and how to cater solutions to them, the better. And then you can, then you'll no longer be guessing because they told you what they're looking for, what they desire most. And a lot of times they're not going to just come out and say that because a lot of times they just don't know what they don't know. And they have an idea of what they're looking for, but you as the business owner need to innovate and come up with ideas or find specific solutions and do the work of finding what their fears and dreams are and asking questions, okay? So that's really important overall with boosting conversions, helping people take action when they come to your website. Okay, now once again, when I started off this call, if you have any questions, just press the *5 and just say, "Hey Trent, got a question?" Then we'll discuss it, okay? Next point I'll share here, this is the overall checklist, the overall steps, the 11 steps that we'll be going through here today. We're going to be talking about buyer personas. What is that really, and how does that help you target people specifically and ultimately get more business? Second, we're going to talk about how to drive relevant traffic, people who are in the market looking for what you have to offer, and how to craft and present relevant messages for the people you're wanting to target. Okay, the third thing we're going to talk about will be the design, the overall design of your site, and why effective design, how great design helps persuade people to take action. You know, the differences between good and bad design. We'll talk about that, along with briefly talking just briefly about value propositions, and then understanding the fourth, which is the phases of buying. You know, there's cycles that people go through in buying, and timing is pretty much everything when it comes to presenting things on your side and inviting them to take action. So we'll talk about that. How to reduce friction. Okay, things that are roadblocks online, on your website, things that reduce the whole process of taking action. And we'll talk about that along with the clarity and how to eliminate distractions, how to engage visitors, add urgency along with your site, your calls to action, and finally, some of the standards, some of the best practices to follow. Okay, overall, when you are marketing online. So let's jump into the fun here. And number one is your buyer personas. Okay, what is a buyer persona? Okay, the more people who feel that they're in the right place, the right time on your site, the better. And when they come to your site, you want them to feel and think that they're at the right place, that what you are presenting is for them. Okay? So to effectively do that, you got to know who you're targeting specifically. Okay, not just it's not good enough to say I want to target people who are interested in fitness. Well, there's a lot of sub niches. Okay, there's a lot of categories within the industry of fitness. Okay, there's running, there's jogging, there's hiking, there's swimming, there's weightlifting. There's, you know, all kinds of niche topics within the industry of fitness. I mean, if your site was overall wanting to capture anyone in fitness, yeah, I mean, that's not bad. You know, you're appealing to a huge, huge audience. It's just that to be more effective with this, especially starting out, the more precise you are about who you're targeting, the better. Okay, but a buyer persona is basically what you're doing is you're creating or identifying a person. Okay, they could be a boy or girl or both, a family, a kid, baby, elderly. You could create an image or find an image of the type of person that represents your target audience. Okay, there's these different individual characters that you can set up that characterize or represent your audience. So if you have three audiences that you want to focus in on and help in your business, then you'd want to make sure that you have three different images, okay, of types of people who represent your audience. And anytime you look at that person, they would have a profile. Like a while back ago, I remember when I was young collecting baseball cards and basketball cards. And looking at that profile of the card would give the person's face along with their stats and what they've accomplished and kind of just a little bit of the background. And with this, that's just a basic introductory of a buyer persona. But it goes in more depth than just a basketball card detail, snippet. You're getting clear about, well, who is this buyer representing? You know, if it's a man in his 30s, roughly, and he represents an audience that is really into hiking and trail running, okay, then you'd want to break down the details of what kind of person that is and where do they like to go trail running, what kind of shoes do they use and like to use the most. You know, their thought patterns, their fears and their dreams, once again. Okay, the more information you have about that profile, the better you'll be able to do in targeting those people. Because then you can find locations where those people are found. Okay, in that particular example, the guy in his 30s that loves to trail run, he loves to go up in the mountains and jog around and exercise, that type of person frequents certain websites, and he also reads certain magazines, also joins certain groups online, like within Facebook groups and Yahoo groups. there's a lot of different forums online that he would join. So if that was your target audience, you know, if that was your pie persona that represents your target audience, then you'd want to target him, okay? Because there's plenty of other people out there just like him that you'd want to, you know, obviously go after. And, but the whole purpose of having a buyer persona is to make sure that you're clear on who you're targeting precisely. The behavior styles, the preferences, what they like and don't like, okay, all, and a bunch more, and where they're located. So as you start to get into the subject of creating a buyer persona, it's super powerful, and because of those very reasons I just really mentioned off, of helping you target and customize your message, your products, and services to those people. Okay? So how do you go about building them? Okay, and the truth is that most companies only have the faintest idea, you know, behind what lies behind buying, behind the buying decision. And the more and more you understand about why people buy your products or services, the better. Okay, I mentioned earlier the difference between an assumption and a fact. The more you know about the facts, the better you'll do. Okay, the better solutions you can present to your audience, and the more they'll usually end up buying because you'll know how to cater it to them. You'll know how to present it. So when you're first starting off with business, and even as you start to move forward, now, all of us usually presume a lot. We usually presume an awful lot. And so the buyer persona is a tool that can help you see deeper into the buyer's thinking. The better you understand about the buyer's thinking, once again, you can cater the text, the images, the wording, everything, you know, the whole structure of your website to them. So you can use interviews with existing customers, or you can use questions that you can develop to ask people through, you know, chat or through groups and forums online, through social media. Nowadays, it's even easier to communicate with people because of the power of technology to do that. But yeah, use interview questions, use specific questions regarding discovering their fears and dreams, and record them down. That's going to give you the, you know, the fuel to use to, you know, drive your, you know, website in the right direction and serve more people in your target audience or audience groups. All right. The second point. Okay, any questions so far about the buyer persona topic? If you do, just press star 5 and then ask your question. That will then go on to point number 2. Okay, so point number 2 is on the topic of relevancy, okay, and motivation, relevancy. There's two things that we're talking about here in regards to relevancy and motivation. Okay, you want to target the right people once again, and second, communicate the right message to the right people. So it's not really possible to sell people, to sell things to people that, you know, don't need or want them right now. Okay, if you were to try to sell me some running shoes right now, well, I don't need them right now. I already have some, even though that, you know, I've already bought them and I do want to get some eventually. The time is not right. Okay, you want to be able to sell things to people who want them right now, and you're targeting the people who are in the market for them, you know, immediately. So the key ingredient of boosting conversions and having your conversions increase over time is having more and more relevant traffic. Not just any type of traffic, but relevant traffic. People who are once again in the market to buy right now. Because if you stop driving irrelevant traffic to your site, then your conversions will normally go up. So that means that you got to find sources online, you know, search traffic. You can engage in partnerships. You can do, we'll do, you know, I'll talk about some, you know, marketing methods here briefly, a little bit later on. But as you look at the websites, you know, you're leaving comments, you're engaging in paid traffic, and getting traffic, number one, that is relevant to your audience and to your entire business. So you're looking at the right media, where to advertise, where to promote your business, and whether it be free traffic or free marketing or paid marketing. Yeah, either one of those, it doesn't matter. It still comes down to getting relevant traffic, okay? And second is the right message. Well, what do you say? As people come to your site, and they want to hear a clear message, see a clear message. They want to engage with something that will help them along with their, you know, the accomplishment of their goal. So you've got to have the right offer as well. Those three things. Okay, where's the right media? And you've got to have the right message, and you've got to have the right offer. The right offer, and what's the pricing? When you do your research, you'll discover more and more about this. You know, you'll learn a lot when you do your competitive research. Research who your competitors are and what they're selling and how they're selling it. So if you get the media right in terms of where you're marketing to and the traffic is relevant, then people are generally going to be far more interested in what you have to offer. Okay, you're doing instantly better by just doing that. Okay, now you have to figure out what message, okay, or this is the value proposition that I talked about a while back ago on that training, is what value proposition works best for your audience. You'll need to test that out, but start off with a message that you believe would be targeted and clear, provides a clear focus of who the site's for, why should they care about being there, what can you do for them, and what do you want them to do once they get there. Okay, and why are you different? Most people don't spend time investing in answering those questions, and that's one of the major reasons why they don't get anywhere. So invest the time now to do that. Do it properly. Even if you were to spend just a couple of weeks doing that, that would be the difference of months, if not years, of wasted time if you didn't do it. So do it. Okay, you'd be far better served by doing that and researching your competition and understanding your value proposition, how to present it. The third point we're going to talk about is design. And the structure of your site and why that makes a huge difference with conversion and how to optimize. These are all points of optimizing your site so you can see better results. So just to wrap it up with the design, just in a nutshell, beautiful design sells better, okay, than ugly design. A while back ago, when the internet was booming, still booming, but when it first started out, you think of sites like Craigslist that are really ugly sites. They're just super plain Jane sites. They don't have a lot of fancy stuff on there at all. That was when you could get away with that. But nowadays, people know better. They've been around the block a time or two. They've seen a ton of websites, and when you present your site, make sure it looks nice. If you're only getting a neighbor kid to do it, and he doesn't really know much, obviously, about the psychology of design and how to present it effectively, then it's usually going to be less effective. Okay, your site's not going to get the results that you want. So invest in a great design. Before investing in great design, I would, number one, though, make sure that if you're modeling after success, if you're modeling after a company that you're duplicating, that you first have that in place first, okay? Because what you don't want to do is invest all this time and money into designing a pretty website without knowing that there is a market for it. You got to know that, what you're going into, there's a demand for it. There's people buying what you have to offer. Okay, I'm assuming that you already have that in place, or else you know how to do it. Okay, if you have that in place, then it makes sense to invest this money into getting your site designed and making it look great. But there's a difference between just making it look great and having it, the design and the bells and whistles of your site. I'm not talking about design. Is not about having the, the sparkly, shiny buttons on your site. And design is making it not just look nice, but more importantly, have it presented effectively. So when people get there, their eyes naturally gravitate towards what you want them to do, you're educating them and inviting them to do something specific. It's the design, the overall hierarchy, and the visual hierarchy of your site. Okay, so if you, some of the things that you want to stay away from in terms of your design, or if you're working with a designer, is to stay away from, cheesy stock photography. Okay, a lot of times you see the same type of woman or man on all these different websites, smiling with a salad in front of them, or standing on the beach. Keep it real is what we're really looking for. Nowadays, online, people are more interested in transparency, if it's real, not painting a front of fake images or images that are just not relevant with painting an unclear message. So make sure that you're using images that are relevant and also real, that are more believable. Okay. So let's then move on here to a few examples. I'll share with you like one of the examples here. You could go, if you're on the internet, you could go to Mint, MINT.com. If you go over to Mint.com, let's just kind of take a look at the example on their site. Once you go there, MINT.com, it's clear, it's easy to read. Their value proposition is clear to understand, it's nicely presented. Okay, the value proposition is the headline right there. It's easy to understand what's going on with your money. Okay, and then they have a sub-headline there that says, get a handle on your finances the free and fast way. Mint does all the work of organizing and categorizing your spending for you. See where every dime goes and make money decisions you feel good about. Pretty clear, right? But as soon as you got there, where did your eye naturally go to? Okay, these buttons, the sign-up button, learn more and sign up the top, these are buttons that stand out to the eye a lot faster than anything else. If you were to look at your website, or if you're in progress of mapping out your site, whatever the case may be, or need to tweak your site, the bottom line is that when people come to your site, where does their eye naturally go to? On every single page, all throughout your website, you should have the number one thing you want them to do, standing out, okay? There should be a button like this, for example, that your eye naturally gravitates towards, inviting them to do something, such as sign up or learn more about something, okay? So this is a great example. This is a great example right here of an effective presentation of the value proposition and also the overall design layout and the visual hierarchy. Okay? Effective, yet powerful, and it persuades people to take action. If you're in the market for a software and a system that does exactly what they just really promised, then boom, it's super easy to get started. Okay, whether you're selling e-commerce products or affiliate products or your own services, it doesn't matter. The bottom line there is that. And make sure that the visual hierarchy, the structure of your site, the way that you present it, the design, once again, is effectively presented. The fourth point we're going to talk about is on the topic of value propositions. And as I mentioned earlier, we're not going to go into this in super depth, but the four major elements of an effective value proposition is, number one, your headline. Number two is your sub-headline, like on mint.com. There's a headline. It's easy to understand what's going on with your money. That's a headline that is benefit-driven. Number two is your sub-headline. It presents, well, who's this for? Why should I care? Okay, then the third thing is the benefits. You can list them out in bullet points. You'll notice on mint.com, right below the image, there's a section there that says quick and secure sign up. There's three major benefits, okay, and or features. Okay, but if it's more benefit driven, the better. That's the third thing. And then the fourth major element of your value proposition is an image, a supporting image that supports your text that you just put on there for your value proposition. Okay. So make sure to get those things in place. And if you do, then once again, you'll have far better conversions. You'll see more and more people sign up because it's clear, it makes sense. And if they're in the market for what you have to offer, then there's going to be less friction. And they'll be able to take action a lot faster. Okay, once again, if you have any questions, just chime in and write down, or even you can even write down any questions you may have and wait till the end of the call and we'll discuss them, okay? The fifth point of website optimization and conversion that we'll talk about is understanding the whole buying phase of your audience. Okay, if you came across, we'll share an example. If you came across, we could just use the same example, Mint. Okay, if you were to take mint.com, if you were not in the market to buy right now, well then, the timing is wrong. And if they're not ready quite yet, then there should be a way for people to put their name and email in. You know, they may be interested, but they're just not ready to buy right now. And so at least you can get their name and email in and collect a lead and then follow up with them later on down the road. And that should be a part of your email marketing sequence. That should be part of your email marketing in general, is to follow up with the leads that you get. Okay, but largely and overall, your customers are going to fall into three major groups. And number one is, these comprise of people who have a problem or need, but they don't know it yet. Okay, they don't know what they don't know. And then second is, there are people who are researching different options. They're kind of comparing different possibilities out there and seeing what the best price is or what the best decision is to make. There's those people. And then third, people who are who have already made the decision that they want to, they want to buy the product or service. They just, are looking for the best place. Okay, those are the major ones. There's going to be a few more additional groups besides those three, but those are the major ones, depending on the niche or the business that you're in. So develop questions that you can ask people, and you can start to learn more and more about the different phases of your buyers that they may be in. If you think about, for example, real estate, the buying cycle of real estate, how often do people buy homes? It's a longer buying cycle, right? But if you think of the buying cycle of buying toothpaste, that's usually anywhere from 1 to 2 months, depending on how big your family is or if you're just going through it individually. What's the buying cycle of buying a bike or fill in the blank, buying socks for you or clothing? The whole cycle is going to be different based upon what you're buying or what you're selling in this particular circumstance as the business owner. So think of that and make sure that you're taking that into consideration. But overall, on your site, if you're accounting for that, then you'll be ready to capture a lead and then follow up with them and then present the product or service you have to offer to them a little bit later. Okay? And then during the interim, if they're not ready now, then you can educate them and develop that relationship more and more. So let's just talk briefly about those three major people, in those groups. Yeah, the people who don't know what they don't know. They're, they have a problem, but they're not exactly precisely clear about how to solve it, or, they're not super clear about, the major elements of it. And then second, the people who are researching, and then third, people who have made the decision already. So let's talk about the researchers, okay? In most business niches, these people form the major group. Okay? They form the majority. The major questions that you'd want to answer for those types of people, the people who are researching, the answer to the question of why should I buy from you? Okay, if I fall in the group of one, I'm researching, I'm comparison shopping, it's critical that you have some type of information on your website telling them, hey, this is the reason why you'd want to buy from me. Buy from me because I'm the only one on the planet that offers free shipping in this category. Or, make it real. It's legit. If you're the only one that, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the only one. It just means that maybe you do a better job at it. Okay? or if you have lower pricing, or if you have higher quality, or if you have an overall better experience. Okay, there's a lot of elements you can present to tell them the why. Why buy from me? Okay? These are the researchers, people who really want to understand. The quicker you can tell them that, the quicker they can make the decision to buy. So if you don't have a compelling value proposition, you're going to lose. Okay. A quick way to not make money is to obviously not do what we're talking about here today, but obviously the goal is to help you see clearly what to do and how to go about doing it so you can see more and more results. Okay. We want you to make more and more money. So make sure to have a clear reason why people should buy from you. If you don't make a clear one again, then there's going to be less more friction, and then less people buy. So make sure that it's super clear. Overall, it's by human nature, we don't like to think. We like to make things as easy as possible, do things that are easy as possible, take the path of least resistance. And we like to compare products by looking at a couple single points and then move on. We don't want to have to go through lists and comparison, comparing 5,000 different websites to make a decision. So you as a business owner, just got to make sure that you do the legwork. Do the research yourself. Make sure that you synthesize the information to make it easy for people to understand. There's a few things here some exercises you can look at. So state your advantages and the differences on your home page, on the product pages. You look at your site and look at the pages that your products are presented on. Do you clearly present the advantages or the benefits? Do you clearly present the differences between what you're offering and what other people are offering if you're in a competitive environment? There's some feedback in the background, so if you can push a *5, then that would be great. And just mute yourself. Okay, so researchers, once again, are looking for information that will help them decide. Your job is to provide them with as much information as possible to make a positive purchase right then and there. Okay, if you rush to sell, ask for a sign up. Like I said earlier on the opt-in. And before you have them leave, get some information from them so you can follow up with them. Okay, the sixth point that we're going to talk about is how to reduce friction, how to reduce the whole process of having people buy. So the more confusion there is on your site, the less and less people would buy. Okay, so whenever you ask people to do something or commit to something, there's friction. It's impossible to remove friction entirely, 100%. Okay, there's always going to be the what ifs that people have up in their mind. But if you do the major elements, then you'll be able to reduce a lot of the friction, so they can make a purchase faster. Okay, so friction overall on that topic is on the subject of doubts, hesitation, second thoughts that people have about giving you money for their product. Okay, is it really worth the money? People are going to be asking these questions. Okay, when was the last time you went to a website and bought something? Okay, by default, you're usually thinking, is it really going to be the best decision? Okay, if you were, if you went online and bought a remote control car for your kid, you're wondering, well, is it going to break? Is there a return policy? Can I trust this website? Is it going to work the way that I am hoping and expecting? If it doesn't fit, what can happen? So these are all things that you'd want to make sure that you present on your site. There may be certain buttons on your site that will lead them to getting more information. Overall, you could have like a frequently asked questions page, FAQS. The facts page that answers these questions. These are major things that people will want to know. So the way to convert a person that is a non-believer into a believer is to address those questions. So the way to convert the usual suspects, okay, the elements that add friction, long or complicated process. If it's long or complicated, get a quote, okay? Get a quote, such as like 10 fields, 3-page application is too long, okay? Just get a simple quote from them. If you're presenting like a service-oriented business, you know, that let's say you're doing lawn mowing or painting or something, get a quote from them, okay? Or if you're in, like for example, the you know, if you're a lender or a more loan officer, okay, there's a lot of information you need to gather from people, but you don't need to gather all the information right up front before they can even meet with you. Get their name and email, maybe their address, and then follow up with them, and then get the rest of the information. Get them in the door, and then move forward with getting the details that you need. Okay, that's a great way of reducing friction. Okay, the second point of reducing friction would be to look at the user-friendliness of your site. Okay, once they get there, if people don't understand how to buy or if they can't find any information on what they really need, then make it super easy to understand. You know, put the buttons where they need to, you know, put the calls to action where they need to, and it'll make it a lot easier for them to take action. Yeah? And the third element of reducing friction for your site is if you don't have any names or photos or phone numbers or contact info, a physical address, those are all very important things to have on your site to reduce friction, because by default, people are going to not trust a site that is not clear. And so if you're trying to hide something, if you have something to hide, then they're usually going to expect, wow, this is not a trustworthy site. They're going to jump onto the next site. Okay. So if you don't publish it, then they're all going to assume, hey, this is not a trustworthy site. So just be clear, be transparent. Okay, the fourth point is an amateur site. Okay, if it looks like a teenager did it, then get someone to design it for you so it looks nice. Okay, so you can easily do that. Okay, by finding people through Elance or Fiverr. You've got to kind of be careful with some of the designers. Look at their background and their portfolio. But if you're just getting started, with a site, it's okay to be, practicing some of these things in terms of changing things on your website and getting clear about how to present your value proposition and the products on your site and all that. Once you've practiced things and got familiar with how to present things on your site, then move forward with getting some of the design and make it look nice. Okay, the next element here is insufficient evidence. Okay, this is where you make a bunch of claims but don't back them up. Okay. If you make a claim, make sure you back it up. If you're promising something, then make sure that there's other people who have tried it out or done business with you. Or, if you can't back it up, then it's obviously not as believable. So back it up. Back it up. You can back up your testimonials, for example, with pictures, or even just having testimonials in the first place will help back up, the whole evidence aspect of what you're selling. Links to their website, images is always a huge help. So the last two points I'll share here in terms of reducing friction involve insufficient information. If you lack information on your site and people need to have that, such as if they're buying, a kitchen table, well, they need to know, the size and the dimensions. What is it made out of? Is it structurally sound? Answer all those questions that they're going to have. Okay. There's tons of sites that do a horrible job, in presenting enough information, and it's no wonder that they don't take off. But so make sure that you do this right and present the information that people need to be able to make an educated decision on buying the product or service that you're selling. Okay, and the last point of reducing friction is addressing fears, uncertainties, and doubts. Okay, much like the list of the questions that we've gone over already, every person is going to have some type of doubt or form a question. Okay, so the way to overcome these is to address those, you know, fears and uncertainties and there's those doubts in your sales copy, in the information, the text, or if you're doing a video, address them. Okay, talk about them in your video, the way that you present the stuff. So if you're not super clear about some of the major questions to address, well, then interview your customers. Okay, find out. Ask them questions. You can go to, once again, forums online. Social media is a really powerful tool for that. You can send out an email to people. You can create a survey. Okay, you can talk with people in person, in networking groups. So the whole host of methods you can implement to find out questions and also answers to those questions so you can address them properly in your business online. Let's move on here. Okay, so the seventh point that we're going to talk about here with boosting conversions and optimizing your site is the subject of clarity. Okay. People are just not going to buy what they don't understand. Okay, we need to understand that. If you don't understand it already, okay, if you understand that people don't buy what they don't understand, then you know you'll do a lot better. Okay, so most people you know fear what they don't understand. Okay, people don't really understand a lot of things, and therefore by default they're fearful of it. Yeah, I'm fearful of it. Excuse me. So if you have a clear presentation, once again, you're transparent, you're open, you're providing clarity on the subject of what you're promoting and selling, then there's less friction, once again, there's easier path for them to take, they can see why they would want to do it, and all of these elements that we're talking about on optimizing and boosting conversion, they go hand in hand, they intertwine with each other. So whatever you're selling, know that you know the buyer that you're focusing on is human. You know, it doesn't matter if, you know, that person is a granny or a top executive from some huge company. They're all human. So if the text of the video on your website is easy to understand and it presents it in a compelling way, then your conversions will go up. Okay? That's what we love. Let's come down to, let's go to the next point here. This is the eighth point that I'll be talking about here on boosting conversions and, you know, and on the subject of optimizing your site. So noise and distraction, okay, how busy your website is. There's a famous saying, you know, for the, you know, outdoor, or for the, you know, in the billboard world there that says, you know, it's ready when there's nothing left to do or remove. Okay, in a way, this also applies for websites. Okay, the more choices you give to people, the harder it is to choose anything. So when there are too many options to choose from, it's easier to choose nothing at all. When they go to your site and they have 10 different packages to choose from, it's going to be a bit debilitating. You know, it's going to kind of cripple their decision making. But if they have, you know, maybe one, two, or three options to choose from, then it's going to be a lot easier to choose. And you can position those packages in a way where they can make a quicker decision and they're on their way. Okay, so if you have a ton of products, you have to give, you know, great filters in place for them to narrow down the choice faster. Okay, that's specifically in terms of an e-commerce site. If you have 3,000 different products on an e-commerce site, make sure to have a search function where they can filter through and say, okay, I'm looking for, you know, blue Nike shoes that look a certain way, yeah? So noise and distraction, you know, it's not just about how many products you have, okay? It's how busy your layout is. Okay, how many competing design elements are there, you know, asking for their attention? If we go back to that example I shared with you earlier at mint.com, there's not a lot of things that are competing with my visual decision-making. Okay, visually, my eyes naturally gravitate towards the sign-up button or the learn more. All right? If there were 10 different colors on here that were like yellow and bright blue and then gold, and you know, it would be super confusing. It would be very noisy. And there would be, you know, a lot of difficulty in my site to make a decision. So So reduce the noise and distraction by making sure that there's only one major thing that you want them to see on each page. What's the most important action step that you want them to take? Okay. So the rule of, you know, the noise factor is that the closer you get to closing the cell, the less things you should have on the screen. Okay, the less things you should have on your screen, the closer they get to checkout. Very important. You know, you'll notice on effective websites that they do this, they do the same thing. And when you come to the checkout page and you're ready to give the person the money, they don't have anything else to click on. They just have one thing for you to do, pay the money, okay, and move on. If you were to go to your website and go through the checkout process, if it's an e-commerce site, okay, hold on here. All right. Okay, so the rule of noise, let me repeat that here. The closer you get to closing the sale, the less thing you should have on your screen. So once they get the checkout, make sure that, you know, you shouldn't have anything on the page that doesn't directly contribute to that conversion. So, if, for example, you could look at Amazon's checkout screen. There's no sidebar, there's no menu, there's no related products. They just have, hey, place your order, and then you can move on. Okay? Let's talk about the ninth point, okay? You want to, this is on the subject of engagement. Okay, what's your conversion rate right now? Okay, even if it's super high, you know, that'd mean that, you know, let's say your conversion rate is 5%. Okay, that mean that, you know, that would mean that 95% of the visitors are not buying anything. You know, overall, yeah, anywhere from 1 to 5% is just a great conversion rate. You know, from you know, cold traffic, people who have not seen you at all or even come to your website before. Overall, those people would convert between 1 to 5%. Okay, that means that if 100 people came to your website and they haven't seen you before, then usually 1 to 5 people would actually end up doing something. Okay, so, you know, they came to your site, and maybe even through paid advertising, you may have bought traffic. You know, bought nothing and left. And now what? Okay, have you lost them for good? Well, not necessarily. They, you know, they may not be gone forever, but in a lot of cases, you know, that may be the case. So, you know, the best way to increase sales is to avoid one at first. Okay, remember buying, you know, the buying phases that we talked about earlier. Instead of asking for money, you know, try to engage them in some way, and ideally collect their email address so you can keep on talking to them. Okay, so the general rule here that we talked about, the more expensive and or complicated the product, the more time people need to make a decision. If you've created an audio program or a boot camp, or you've just developed a brand new product that, you know, it hasn't hit the market yet, you know, whatever the case may be, if you're presenting a product that people don't know anything about yet or know very little about, you need to take more time to educate them. So you may have to do that in, you know, like a video and or a sales copy. You write it all out. Overall, video, you know, would be you know, best, as long as you do it right. But make sure that you know, if you're selling stuff that people already know about, you know, if you're presenting like, you know, an iPad or iPhone or, you know, a car, cars or type of, you know, homes or something like that, you know, that people already know about, then give them the basic information and then they can move on and buy it. I briefly mentioned something about the, you know, the element of getting their name and email. If you don't have an email marketing system in place, make sure you do it. So you can go to places like AWeber or MailChimp or iContact or Constant Contact. These are some really popular systems out there that you can go to you know, set up your email marketing system through, and then you'll be set to go. Okay, you can implement that on your site, or else, you know, call in, we can help you. Now, you can also use methods. You know, there's cool strategies they can implement with staying in contact with your customer. You know, email is not the only way, but it's a really powerful way and continues to be number one. But you could present, you know, ways for people to follow you on Facebook and Twitter, and you can stay in contact with them through there, you know, along with having them take some sort of, you know, survey or quiz or test on your site. You could also have them immediately try out your product or test out an element of your service. You could offer, you know, for example, if you're going door to door and you could do carpet cleaning, you see those people all the time do that. Okay, and you could also offer some type of enter to win or contest, you know, to get them in the door. These are all easy entry points, you know, for people to come into. The analytics system that I talked about earlier helps you out with you know, tracking, you know, where people are coming from, and you can present these options for them to take action on, you know, giving their name and email to you or entering into a sweepstake or taking that quiz or test on certain pages that they frequent the most that makes sense. The 10th point, and we're going to go into the second to last point, the 10th point that we're going to talk about is the aspect of urgency. Urgency is really a super powerful motivator, you know, if you do it well. And so most of us, you know, have gone to websites that present, you know, urgency statements such as there's only 5 tickets left at a certain price, okay, or I'm taking down this video in 3 hours, you know, or there's, you know, there may be a particular offer that is only lasting for 7 more days. Okay, you know, these are all elements you can implement in your business to help people take action right now instead of later. Those are things that you definitely want to have on your site. You know, think of the products or services that you're selling, and if you're promoting affiliate offers, then look at your affiliate site. Look at their site and see, you know, if there's any special deals or offers that you could consider presenting that would jive, you know, with marketing that product. But if you have some type of urgency, you know, with presenting your products and your services, then you know, overall you're going to do a lot better. Okay. Now, if they act now, if they don't act now, for example, then they're going to miss out on the super deal. You know, you think of like Black Friday sales. I mean, you have that, you know, day to be able to take advantage of those deals, right? If you don't, then you got to wait. So there's some of these major elements there of urgency would be like quantity limitations. You know, there's only so much left, okay? Or time. There's only so much time that you can take advantage of this. And keep it real. You know, this is not fake stuff that you're presenting. You've got to keep to your guns and stick to your gun. If there's only so much in stock, there's only so much in stock. Okay? Or if there's only so much time, be real about it. Okay? Or else contextual limitations, like, yeah, you have holidays, Father's Day or Mother's Day, or, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. Get the gift, you know, get the gift now. It's not going to last forever. Okay? So as long as you give people the reason for the urgency, and it's believable, it'll work. Okay, so, you know, but too many marketers abuse this type of thing, and they try to add urgency to everything, and it's just not possible. So, you know, make it make sense, you know, to use it, and why they'd want to use it now or buy it right now, and you'll do a lot better. Okay, now the last point that we're going to talk about is the the user friendliness of your site, okay, the usability. If your site is difficult to use, people just won't use it, period. And so nobody's going to bother figuring out where to go and find the stuff and dig into the haystack trying to find a needle. They're just going to pass and move on and go find someone else. Okay, so the best websites provide a seamless experience. It's super easy. Okay, everything seems to flow well, and they don't have to think about much. They just know, hey, this is what I want, buy it, and it's easy flow. Okay, so make sure that the whole layout of your site is effectively presented, and there's, you know, the right buttons at the right spot. And usually up at the top, if you look at some of the examples of excellent websites that are in your market, you can pattern or duplicate what they do. You're not copying them exactly, but you're duplicating the success. So that example website that we're sharing in this context is mint.com. If you go there, up at the top, the navigation there is really easy to navigate through. Well, what is Mint? How is it, how it works? Find savings, community, and company. But those things don't stand out. It's just a way for people to navigate through the site. Once again, the biggest things that stand out are the learn more buttons and or learn more button and the sign up button. And then you could scroll down, and other things will stand out to your eye. But they use they implement the design psychology just wonderfully here. Okay, so the usability. How easy is it for people to use? If you're in it for the long run, then focus on loyalty. What is the the future hold for your business? Think long term. Because overall, if you want people to visit your site more and more, then think long term. Think of, hey, what are they really wanting to experience in the long term instead of just in that isolated moment. Okay, because if you think long term, then you'll be able to customize the text on your website more effectively. Okay, that's what Mint did, and is doing right now. Overall, in the long term, people are going to want to know, well, what is it? What is Mint in more detail if they don't understand it already by the clear message that's on their site. Overall, in the long term, they would want to know how to save, or what the company is all about, or the community, how they can get involved, or how it works. Okay, those are all elements of the navigation on their site. Okay, so that's the end of the call here today on website optimization and conversion 101. If you have any questions, let me know, and we can talk about them now. Otherwise, we'll end the call, and you can have a great day, okay?